Welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Jonathan, you and I were at a conference not too long ago in Richmond, Virginia, and we were talking to one of the participants, and he came up there just kind of just all excited, and he said, "I am part of Church Answers."
Yep.
And he started telling you and I what meals we had eaten and
where, that was funny.
Yeah. Where we had eaten. And we mentioned, I think he wanted me to come speak to
church. Does he do that?
Yeah. And I said, "Well, contact Amy." And here was his word. Is that Amy J or Amy T? I mean, they are both famous out there. It was kind of neat to run in those kind of.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. And just so many good things going on in that particular denomination. And I could get on. And all kind of information about that. But I want to thank, first of all, our sponsor, who is doing a great job as well, Midwestern Seminary.
Yeah, Midwestern Seminary is your source for an MDiv. It's their flagship degree program and the primary track for ministry preparation. In just 81 hours, the Midwestern MDiv offers a complete foundation for full-time ministry leaders, offering everything you need and nothing you don't. You can join other students in vibrant Kansas City as you train in a unique collaborative environment focused on the local church, or you can study in your current ministry context online. Midwestern Seminary is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. Start your training today at mbts.edu/MDIV.
In case you're wondering why I started off with Church Answers, I was thinking about Church Answers as we were going into this topic, challenges church personnel committees or similar groups face, whatever you may call them. One of the most common questions that come to Church Answers is, what do I do about? And fill in the blank. It could be a personnel committee. It could be the elders. It could be the deacons. It could be some type of group within the church that has another name. But they all have to do with oversight of the personnel. And there seems to be a multitude of challenges that are there. We're going to talk about those challenges. And here's my hope. My hope is that when you, the church leader, pastor, staff person, which is about two-thirds, three-fourths of our audience, when you hear this particular podcast, think about sharing it with that group in your church.
Oh, yeah.
Not in a way that is adversarial, but just to say, look, here are the realities of being, and we're going to use the word personnel committee, understanding that it has there are all kind of other labels out there, Jonathan.
What are the other labels?
Well, elders are one of them. So you have elder. Then you have a staff oversight group.
Maybe a church board.
Sometimes, not my favorite choice, but sometimes deacons.
Deacon board
are in charge of personnel. But we're going to use the phrase personnel committee, and you translate it to whatever is the right one for your church. But share this with that group that has that responsibility in your church, because they may not realize the handicaps that they do have on being on this particular committee.
I wouldn't go in there with it burned on a CD and say, "Boy, do you guys need to listen to this?"
I would not either,
probably,
Jonathan.
Probably wouldn't go over well.
No, that would. You may have another kind of meeting with the personnel committee.
Yes,
if you do
a follow-up meeting.
Yeah, follow-up meeting. In light
call
of
it,
your
call it an exit interview.
Ooh, painful. So we're going to go into the challenges personnel, church personnel committees or similar groups face. Again, I hope that this is not only something that you will hear the typical pastor staff member listening to our podcast, but it will be shared with many others in the church. In fact, this could be widespread shared in the church congregation just to get everybody have an understanding of this issue.
All right. The biggest challenge is that they are not there every day.
Yeah, that is something we often do not really have it top of mind, but it's probably the number one issue. For example, if there was a personnel committee at Lifeway, and there's a human resources department, but everybody at Lifeway has managers, directors, and own up the chain like that. But if there was a personnel committee at Lifeway that was said, we have a board that has some of those responsibilities as well, and they said, "We're going to review Jonathan Howe, and we're going to decide not only does he get a raise, but should we even keep him?"
All right. I would have one request.
Yes.
Don't have Amy T on the
on that committee. Exactly. So you know, what would their disadvantage would be? Well, Amy T and Amy J and Thom R see Jonathan virtually every day, sometimes literally, sometimes virtually, because sometimes we're working from anywhere and sometimes we're here in the office. But there's ongoing contact. It is daily with the four of us. It is a rare thing that there's not a text or an email or some type of communication taking place. So we know each other. But then this personnel committee, all they know is what we tell them. And that we'll get back to why yeah. that can be a disadvantage.
And what they see in the off chance, you know, that they hang out with me or whatever.
Yeah, let me give you an example. There was a church assistant that had an effusive, loving personality. And so in business meetings or when people came into the office, you know, she was just so nice to everyone. During the week, she was a tyrant. And as a matter of fact, was, I don't know how to put it any other way, a backstabber to most of the staff that was there. What did those who did not see her every day see?
Oh, sweet, she's the sweetest lady ever.
And nice. And yeah.
But the people that work with her was just like, oh,
How can you say that about her? That's an extreme example, but it's still a poignant and powerful example. If you're not there every day, you really don't know what's going on.
Right. Number two, they listen to only one side of the story.
Another story. Church Personnel Committee, that was their actual name. An executive pastor in a church and a children's pastor did not like the accountability that the lead pastor was giving them. In other words, he was giving them any accountability. They weren't used to any kind of accountability, any kind of checkup whatsoever. And so the executive pastor, somewhat aided by the children's minister, went on this subterfuge where they went around the pastor and began developing relationships with the personnel committee. And the purpose was to tell them their side of the story. He's a tyrant. Oh, you don't know what's going on. I mean, it is awful. The pastor ended up being forced out without a hearing. They never asked the pastor anything about the other side of the story. They took the word of two people. You should listen to them, but they took the word of two people. And because the personnel committee had no other perspective, they assumed that what those two spoke was truth. So it became a tragic situation. It ended up being an awful thing. As a matter of fact, that executive pastor probably doesn't have much future in a lot of places just because of the way that he handled the way that he handled that. So it was something that was awful, but it goes back to the reality. They only heard one side of the story because it goes back to number one. They're not there every day.
Well, number three is connected to number two because this is also the case. Being unduly influenced by power groups or individuals.
Yeah, very similar to the story I just told.
Yeah.
Church staff was a form of the power group. And this particular situation
probably had people in the church that were part of a power group that was helping them out as well.
As a matter of fact, the church bully was the church bully. I mean, he had the definite article in front of him instead
of Southern Seminary.
Yeah. Not apples to apples, but I understand what you're saying. He had the definite article in front of him instead of the indefinite A or N. And he was the one that really helped lead the charge with the two staff members. So they were unduly influenced by the power group, which was a bully, and two staff members. They were unduly influenced by a bully as well. So this kind of all goes back to number one.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I was going to say that because they're not there. They don't know what's going on. So if they're getting constant chirping from one group or individual, that's all they know.
Which goes back to this point. Pastors, make certain that you're staying in touch with your personnel committee.
That's a good point.
On an ongoing basis. Make certain that they are hearing your perspective, not necessarily us versus them, but make certain that you're giving them regular feedback as well so that you don't find yourself in these type of predicaments.
Whenever pastors are dealing with personnel issues on the staff, should they copy personnel team on emails or have documentation for them?
It depends.
All right.
It depends upon the nature of the issue.
Okay.
You don't want to copy personnel on, hey, this person was 5 minutes late to work, as if we, yeah. But you know, if you said something to him, it's on a spectrum. If it is something of a serious nature where there's accountability that's taking place as a result, follow up, I would do so.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just day to day stuff, I mean, I would hate for people to do that to me, and so I would not do as well. So it would be more on the major scale than the minor scale.
All right, major scales and minor scales. We're playing piano now.
I was thinking major amount of prophets.
Oh.
Oh, I spoke yesterday.
And done on and you used a gospel text.
I went to Matthew.
What's going on here?
I was going to do a minor prophet.
Well, that's what you said you were going to do.
Well, I changed my mind.
Yeah, I know.
I just decided to change my mind. It was
making stuff up on the fly.
No. I mean,
I'm not making it up, but you built that plane while you were flying it.
Whatever. Whatever.
It was good, though. It was great.
Yeah, what else would you say?
I wouldn't say anything, but it was good. All right, number four, showing favoritism to a staff person. I've seen this so much.
Isn't that so?
I've seen this so much.
And there
and
are...
And it's usually the lazy staff member, I'm just going to say.
I think you are exactly right.
Throwing that out there.
But the lazy staff member has to have some effort. They're putting their efforts toward seeking favoritism.
Yes.
Instead of doing their job. Our listeners may think that we're talking about something that is unfair. I get that. I absolutely get that. But there is some truth to it, Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this repeatedly. We've seen people on staff who would rather curry favor than to do the job. And sadly, going back to number one, number two, number three, all of these are tied together. It sometimes works in a pragmatic way. It does not work in a leadership or a spiritual way, but it sometimes works in a pragmatic way. And so what happens, you end up losing the hardworking staff members. You end up losing the productive and even godly staff members, and you end up keeping the weaker staff members. It would be amazing to do a little bit of research project on that and what happened to churches when you had the outflow of the good and the stability, if you would, of the not so good. Mm. Fascinating.
All right, number five, failing to document their work in conversations.
Yeah,
right?
it goes back to the conversation you and I just had. One of the things that personnel committees really do not do well as a general statement is they don't document. And as well, the leaders within the church who may have direct supervisory responsibility don't document as well.
Because a lot of times they're meeting in person and they're just talking.
Yeah.
So it's... You know, maybe somebody may take minutes, maybe some slight minutes, not even really that, probably.
Yeah.
But it's just, all right, we had a meeting and this is what we decided or this is what we were told. But there's no documentation a lot of times about that. It's just a conversation.
I don't do a whole lot of documentation as a leader on when people are doing their job. If I start doing some documentation on you, Jonathan...
I remember a document you had me write once.
Yes.
You said, well, pull out your iPad.
Yeah,
said,
but
okay.
It was early in our
It wasn't
professional,
about me, thankfully.
Professional relationship where I had a situation. I said, I need to document this. I need to document it for our trustees. I need to document it for our executive team.
That.
And so we went to work. So if I'm not going to, through annual reviews, I will document the positive.
Yeah.
But otherwise, silence is golden. Do you know who sang that song?
No, but I bet you're going to tell me.
I think, and I'm going to have the Amish check, I think it's the Tremolos.
I think that's right. I think we've talked about this song before.
It's
that,
one.
That name sounds familiar.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It is, yes.
You're not going to be wrong about 60s music. I just
some of the time I will be. Some of the time, especially if it's been covered by another group at some point.
So silence is golden.
Yeah. So silence is golden. You don't want me to talk about my 60s groups.
No.
So If I'm not saying anything except on the annual review, it's usually a pretty positive situation. If I start documenting, it's because of liability issues, it's because of accountability issues, it's because of performance issues. There could be others out there that would want to document everything. I am not going to challenge that whatsoever. Everybody is different, but from my perspective, I am more going to document the challenges than the positive.
All right, number six is a challenge that I have seen very often. You get personnel teams together. They're from different groups or different areas of business and work and whatever they may be. They may be educators, businessmen, just, you know, regular factory people, whatever it may be, not fully understanding vocational ministry. I've seen it time and time again.
And the classic example is office hours.
Yes.
You need to be in the office just like we are in our middle management job, 40 hours a week.
I clock in at 8, I clock out at noon, I have a 30-minute lunch break, and I clock out at 4:30.
And that's exactly what you should do. Oh, but wait, we want you to be involved in the community. Oh, wait, we want you to go call on people in the hospital. Oh, wait, we want you to have concentrated time in sermon or teaching preparation. Oh, wait, we want you to be connecting with these people who visit our church. Oh, and we want you in the office 40 hours a week. That's one example of not understanding vocational ministry. Now, to the defense of some personnel committees, it's because there have been times that it has been abused.
Yes.
And as you know the old cliche, he's out visiting the greens. Mm-hmm. You know, he's out on the golf
course.
Seeing
some dear friends.
Yes. Doing hunting. We've all heard those corny cliches. There is a little bit of truth to that, but you've got a greater problem than just that. You've got a problem with that individual. Vocational ministry is so different in so many ways, and I've lived both worlds. I know it is so different than the other. And here's the thing about it. Vocational ministry does not turn off. Now, there are a lot of jobs that don't turn off. I get that. But you don't know when that crisis is going to arise. You don't know when that person is going to die. You don't know when this accident is going to take place. You don't know when this issue that needs your immediate attention will come to the forefront. It is so different than a lot of jobs, not all jobs. Many jobs have that on-call element to them as well. But vocational ministry is simply different. There's another thing. You work all day Sunday, usually even if you have services on Sunday morning. You're just constantly working. My son, Jess, we have one service, 10 a.m. He works on Sundays. I don't even know what time he gets there, but probably 6 a.m. And he is not done till about 10 p.m. It's constant that day. And I could fill in all of the blanks. Yeah. But that's different, too. I mean, that dude is putting in
That's 16 hours
in one day. He's not thinking about clocking it or anything like that. It's just what I do. But many people would not understand that reality, that it's different than many other jobs.
All right, finally, they don't understand fully the compensation and benefit issues that go
on. Oh, I could park here.
We have parked here in the past.
Different
podcast.
Yes, we have. First of all, before I forget it, let me just say we have a link to the compensation study of Guidestone and Lifeway. It's a good study that gives you some. It has filters that you can use. I don't like the state filters in the sense that I don't think it's as much a particular geography as it is. And I understand if you're living in Boston, it could be more expensive than living in Rimlap, Alabama. I understand those.
I know where Rimlap is.
Yeah.
I know the story behind Rimlap, but yeah.
Palmer backwards. Yeah. They didn't like the Palmer family, so they made it Rimlap. So I understand that there, but to say that Georgia is one set of churches and then California is another, well, Atlanta could be a lot more expensive than some of the Northern California towns, for some of the Valley towns. So I'm not going to part there, but it's good information that you can filter. Also, Hammer.
Yeah, the Richard Hammer Church Compensation Handbook.
Yeah, it's incredible. I recommend everybody keep
get one of those every year.
Every single year, and just have it. And I get the written copy. But here's some of the things that can happen. Some people do not understand the difference between package and pay. So here's an example. A pastor actually gets a paycheck that is the equivalent of $50,000 a year. That would be what he would call salary and housing. Okay. Then, in addition to that, they pay health insurance up to $6,000, and they pay $4,000 in retirement benefits.
Mm-hmm.
50 plus 6 plus 4, 60. Many times, the personnel committee will say, we pay him $60,000.
No, you pay him 50.
You pay him 50 plus benefits. I bet in your secular job, you don't think that your benefits are what you get paid.
I have no idea what my benefits total is.
Hmm.
I mean, like, I think in most secular jobs,
we make it available here.
Well, I know, but like you'd have to go and find it and add it up. But like nobody knows.
No, they'll do that for you here, okay. Jonathan.
I didn't know that.
We have it pretty well spelled out in HR here. I just want to let you know that
I didn't know that.
We get booklets on it.
I know what it
costs. Used to be written booklets, and now they're digital booklets, and you can go through those booklets and you can.
But like I don't know what my total package number is.
I know what your total package number is.
Yeah, it's because you do the budgets.
Well, no,
somebody does budgets. But anyway. Amy does the budget.
The point is, You know your salary.
I know my salary.
Yeah, and you don't know.
So does that pastor.
Yes, exactly.
That's what paying the bills.
But if it shows up on the budget as a package amount, people are going to say, well, he makes $60,000. Wow.
That's not enough.
But he's making $50,000. A lot of them don't understand Social Security issues, whether they've opted in or opted out. They don't understand housing. There's so much that is different than the secular world. That's not the case with all personnel committees, but that's why I'm glad we have sources like Hammer, Gadstone, and Lifeway Study. I'm glad we've got that information to be able to help personnel committees. Speaking of being able to help, Vanderblumen is doing some coaching to help pastors.
Yeah.
Talk to me about it.
Now they are accepting applications for their Fall Pastor Coaching Network at their Houston headquarters in September and November. There are two networks. There's one for lead pastors, one for executive pastor, and each group is limited to 16 people. It's a close-knit roundtable network where you can grow as a leader so that you can grow your team and ultimately grow your church. If you're interested in joining or finding out more, visit vanderblumen.com/coaching for more information. That's vanderblumen.com/coaching. We've got the link at the podcast website. I know maybe you're trying to spell out Vanderblumen, but
just hit VANDERB and it'll show up in any Google search.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That'll do it for us today here on Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Once again, my closing word to all of you is please, if you feel comfortable doing so, share this with the group in your church that connects with the same thing as personnel committee. I think it'll be invaluable information and it can get everybody on the same page.
All right. Thanks again for joining us here today on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, or in your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.